Imagine Tina. She's a teenager and she's at school and she's walking with a group of friends and maybe they're on the way to lunch and they're walking down a corridor and one of them scribbles something obscene on a poster of the school Christian Union. And Tina says very bravely, and it is brave, "You shouldn't do that, and I'm a Christian." And it's brave because from then on there will be teasing and unpleasantry and she'll be picked on and she'll be marked out. Well, Acts chapter 4 has shown us that the Christian church is marked out by hostility or for hostility. And in our culture, we may at times be able to talk about God or maybe about faith. But once you start mentioning the fact that Jesus is the only way to God, or the exclusiveness of salvation for those who believe, one way to salvation, then actually what we find are there are many deaf ears, and we find that people are often very hostile. If you've got your Bibles, just have a look back at Acts chapter 1. You need to have a Bible open, page 1092 in our church Bibles. And just look back at chapter 1 and verse 8, which we looked again at last week. It would be helpful, I think, if we just take note of it again. Where Jesus says to his apostles, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And in a sense, this verse sets the agenda for our understanding of the book of Acts, that what we should expect as we read it is first what God does, or the risen Jesus does in Jerusalem, then as the agenda goes further in Judea and Samaria, which is part of the old Israel, and then as it spreads further beyond to the very ends of the earth. And Acts chapter 4, which is back to that reading there on page 1096, is very helpful to show us how we may be confident that the gospel and this church growth which Jesus has talked about will reach the ends of the earth in spite of hostility and all the opposition that is thrown our way. Now we're looking at verses 23 to 31 of chapter 4. And it'd be helpful, I think, to have it open in front of us as we look at it together. Don't look at other passages, but follow this one, and it will help. And the other passages I'm going to point to, and then that will help you to follow what I am saying. Now, the very first look, as you read through verses 23 to 31, and that heading that the NIV translators have put in as well, will give you the impression that it's all about prayer. Prayer for boldness in the face of opposition. But I want to show you that fundamentally it's something rather different that's going on here. It's about a conviction about God's word. Now if today you are new here or you're just visiting and you haven't been for a while, what we discover in Acts chapter 3, John and Peter have performed a remarkable miracle. They've healed a cripple from birth, a congenital cripple. He's been a cripple for over 40 years. And without physio, this man is pulled to his feet and he walks and leaps. And the reason this happens, Peter explains, is because Jesus is raised from the dead. He's been resurrected. And because he's been put into the position of all authority in the universe, he has made this man well. And Peter preaches a sermon and says he is able to forgive those who crucified him. Well, that message was rejected and Peter and John are thrown into prison overnight and they're put on trial and they're warned not to speak about Jesus. And now they go back to the believers. So we see there in verse 23 of John chapter 4, on their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. And they tell what's happened, and then the people pray. And to see what the heart of the passage was all about a conviction about God's word, let's look at the prayer that is recorded for us. Have a look, please, at verse 24 of Acts 4. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke. Now I want you to notice that the way they pray is they don't pray Father, as I often pray myself, not loving Saviour or loving Lord, but Sovereign Lord. In other words, what they're saying is they say, you are the one who is in control, you are in charge. And they say, look, you are the Sovereign Lord, you have made the heaven, that is everything up there, you've made the earth, everything down here, and you've made the sea, which to you is all that dangerous stuff out there. And then just look what he says in verse 25, you spoke. Now, that's a rather important thing to do, isn't it? To listen to the one who is in charge. Many people are deaf when people are in charge. Have you ever had small children? Something small children do with parents is they ignore them very often, don't they? Because they think they're in charge. But actually, but the one who is in charge has spoken. And therefore the question must be, what has he said? It's rather important to listen to him. What must we listen to? What is it that we have to take on board? And there are three things I want you to notice here. The first is that God's king will rule and the world can't stop it. Let me just read those words in the middle of verse 25. Let me begin at the beginning of verse 25. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. And then he quotes Psalm 2. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Now, whenever you have a quote from the Old Testament in the New Testament, what you need to do is to go back and have a look at it, because the people who are quoting from the Old Testament know the Old Testament so much better than we do. And we need to understand it. They have quoted it because it's relevant to what they want to say. And so what we're going to do, I'm going to ask you, is to keep a finger in Acts 4 and come back, please, to Psalm 2, which should be on page 543. I'm hoping it's 543 if I wrote it down correctly. Yes, it is, 543. So keep a finger in Acts 4. And turn back, please, to Acts chapter 2. Now, at this point, you need to be in in Psalm 2 rather than in Acts or Job or Genesis or Revelation or anywhere else. That would be really helpful. Psalm 2. And let me read Psalm 2. And you can see the Acts 4 has begun from the opening verses of Psalm 2. Why do the nations conspire? The nations are Gentiles, in other words, non-Jews, and the peoples plot in vain. The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. So here you have all the people who are powerful, who are against God and his anointed one. And they say in verse 3, let us break their chains, they say, and throw off their fetters. But look what God does in verse 4. The one enthroned in heaven laughs, and the Lord scoffs at them. Why does he? And we're going to find out, why does he scoff? Then he rebukes them in his anger and terrifies them in his wrath, saying, I have installed my king on Zion, my holy hill. See, the reason God is laughing at this attempt of powerful people to get rid of the fetters, you know, they call their fetters their chains, is because God has done something. He's established his king in the world, and he's going to rule. And look what he says then in verse 7 onwards. He says, I will proclaim the decree of the Lord. He said to me, you are my son, today I've become your father. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. You will rule them with an iron scepter, but you will dash them to pieces like pottery. Do you see what God has done to his king? These are the words that God has spoken to his king. You are in the position of authority. And so when people rebel against you, you will be dashed and they will be scattered like smashing pottery. Then look on at verse 10. He says, therefore, you kings, be wise. See, wake up. Here is the situation of the world. Be warned, you rulers of the earth. And then he says, serve the Lord with fear, rejoice with trembling, and the key thing in verse 12, kiss the Son. In other words, that's a picture of homage and obeisance. You are to bow down. Do you see what God has said? His king rules the world. And the world can't stop him. So the world are trying to throw the fetters off, and God laughs. Because he says, my king is installed. He's there. You can't do anything about it. And it's foolish. And the question we have to ask at that point is, well, this is written, we've no idea when Psalm 2 was written, but a long time ago, maybe at least 700 years, or certainly 600 years before the birth of Jesus, who is this? See, if you know your Old Testament history, you might say, look through the kings of Israel, maybe Solomon. He was the king who had the greatest sort of rule in the world. But some of the later kings, really, they were little more than a ruler of a city-state. Maybe we'd call him a mayor in our world. But what we have in Psalm 2 is a promise made by God, the creator of the world. He says, God's king will rule, and the world can't stop it coming about. Well, that's the very first point. Now, the second point that, now we turn back to Acts, please. Acts chapter 4 on page 1096. The second point that Luke makes is this, is Jesus is God's king who will rule, and the world can't stop it coming about. Jesus is God's king who will rule, and the world can't stop it coming about. Just look at verses 27 and 28. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Okay, and we'll stop at that point. See, do you see what Psalm 2, in a sense, is pointing to? It's pointing to actually the ultimate king. And Peter says, or the people as they pray say, is Jesus is this king who will rule. So what we find in verse 27, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel to conspire against Jesus. What did they try to do? Well, just look. They come and they meet together. Now just turn back a page and look at chapter 4, verse 2. Why did the Gentiles, why did the rulers of Israel conspire ultimately with Pontius Pilate to get Jesus killed? Look, verse 2. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. See, the rulers hated Jesus. You just need to read Luke's gospel. And what you discover is they had no reason to kill Jesus, but they hated him. Why? Because Jesus kept on pointing out they were wrong, and he was showing that he had authority in a way that they didn't. And they hated the fact that Jesus was God's king. So what do they do? Well, what they do is they crucify Jesus. They did their worst to him, and they killed him. But death couldn't stop Jesus from being God's king. 3 days later, he was raised from the dead. And through the resurrection, Jesus is established as the king who is going to rule. And he's been established by God. Do you see? Do you see, if you go back to Acts 4 and verse 28, they did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Do you see? They threw their worst at Jesus. And what did it do? They opposed him as strongly as they could. They killed him. And what did he do? It may establish Jesus as Lord over them. And Jesus is this king. And they can't stop it. It's just great irony. Do you see? This is what's happening. So we get this first point from Psalm 2, that God's king will rule, and the world can't stop it coming about. And then Peter, the church, as they pray, they say, Jesus is God's king who will rule, and the world couldn't stop it coming about. Now, third point. Jesus, God's king, will rule, and the preaching and preaching the word of God brings about his kingdom. Jesus, God's king, will rule, and the preaching of the word of God brings about his kingdom. Look at verses 29 and 30. Now, this is what is the heart of their prayer. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to stretch to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. Now, what's the key phrase in verses 29 and 30? Well, it's the thing that they ask. Enable your servants to speak your word. It's just word about Jesus. In other words, the way that the God's kingdom, the kingdom that Jesus has proclaimed, the kingdom of God, the way that it happens is through the preached word. Now just turn back again to chapter 4, verse 6. Just think how Psalm 2 began. Psalm 2 began, the kings of the earth take their stand, the rulers gather together. Look at chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. The next day, the rulers, elders, and teachers of the law met. Well, that's really the word gather together in the original, in Jerusalem. Annas and the high priest, just look how powerful these people were. Annas, the high priest, well, that's the one who'd been around for quite a while, he was deposed actually at the time. And you've got Caiaphas, who was the high priest, John and Alexander, who also became high priests, and other men of the high priest's family. Here are the rulers of the world, all opposing the gospel, and those who are following Jesus. And what is it they want stopped? Look at chapter 4, verse 18. What do they want stopped? Chapter 4, verse 18, they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. Do you see what they want stopped? They want the proclamation about Jesus stopped. And they want the apostles from speaking that Jesus is God's king. Why? Because it's through the preaching about Jesus, who is the king, that people are converted and God's kingdom is built up. Do you know, in World War I, the physicist Ernest Rutherford was involved in war work. And he was he's a very famous physicist. And he missed a meeting. He was based in Birmingham at the time, and he missed a meeting, and he got to the next meeting, and he was told off for missing this meeting about war work. And he said to them at the time, I was conducting an experiment on disintegrating the atom, and that is far more important than any war. Can you imagine anybody to say something so bold? But he was right, wasn't he? And what we're being told here is that the preached word about Jesus is much more important than anything else you can imagine. Because the preached word about Jesus reclaims a lost world. It reclaims people from sin and hell for heaven and for the relationship with Jesus. And we know that. As we've been looking through the book of Acts, we looked at chapter 2. And on the day of Pentecost, what did Peter do? He preached a sermon. And we know that about 3,000 people responded, because Luke tells us. We're told in Acts chapter 4, verse 4, that after the sermon about the cripple in the temple court, the church grew to about 5,000 men. And now what we're being told is, look, you must stop speaking. And what do they pray? They pray, we need to keep on speaking, because what people need to hear is a preached word. Now, many of us here know in experience that the thing that drew us to Jesus first was actually hearing and understanding for ourselves who Jesus is, what he's done for us, and what he wants from us. It may have been through a sermon or through Christianity Explored or whatever it is, but the preached word is far more important than anything else. Because it's this that grows the kingdom. And it's the conviction that the preached word leads them to pray for boldness, doesn't it? That's the issue here. And that's what we need to be persuaded about. You know, they say there in verse 30 that there are to be signs and wonders to accompany the apostles' teaching as they teach. And yet, because Jesus is king, he's established in heaven, the preaching of the word about him will establish the kingdom. And that's what's needed. And that's what they say, give us the boldness to do this one thing, to preach the word. Now, of course, those who hold power, the leaders of the nations, they won't like the message that Jesus is God's king, because human beings like to think that they're in charge. The fact that Jesus is God's king interferes with their rule. There are those who want to have sexual freedom, and they won't like the fact that Jesus is God's king. There are people who have lots of money. They don't want to hear the message that Jesus is God's king, because that then affects the way you spend it. And if I believe that what Luke is showing us about God's word is what we'll do is, he's teaching us about this conviction about God's word, what we'll always do is we'll be praying for boldness about God's word. We want to proclaim it boldly. Now, we need to say that boldness is not the same as brashness, is it? Boldness is not the same as being tactless. Boldness is not the same as being rude. Now, boldness occurs when we have that sort of knee-knocking experience, when we discover that there's an opportunity and one is incredibly frightened to speak, just like my illustration of Tina at the beginning, the schoolgirl. But it leads to the establishment of the kingdom. And when we grasp this, if we grasp it, what it will do is that we will speak about Jesus. You see, if we hear and understand that it's the preaching about Jesus that grows the kingdom, and we've got it in our heads, and we actually know that this is what is needed, what will we do? Well, we'll pray for boldness to speak, whether it be to work colleagues, or to friends, or even, in great trepidation, to family. And we'll pray for opportunities. And when we have them, knee knocking, we will seize them. You see, it's the same with opening the Bible, whether it be in our house group. You see, the thing that needs to matter in the house group is that the Bible's open, because the Bible teaches us about Jesus. That's what matters. In the Jump for Joy 3-minute slot, the question would be, is where will the helpers be as Kate comes up ready? Will they be ready to hear God's word, or will they all be still behind the hatch helping with tea and coffee? Or when there's a men's event and Skittles, I guess we'll be praying for non-Christian men to come, but what do we really want to happen? That God's word will be sharp and apt, just as Angela prayed earlier this evening. Or when we have C2C, you know, and you want to speak to the children, and you want to get it across to the children, what do you actually want from the children at that moment as you're speaking, teaching the Bible to them? You want them to be quiet and to listen. It may be okay to talk over the hubbub at school of fidgeting and the rest, but if you recognize it through the preaching of God's word that people are converted and become Christians and the kingdom of God grows, you actually want to actually make everything focus in on the word. So you want silence in the meeting with the children. You see, the conviction about God's word changes everything. And what we are trying to do week by week as we look at the Bible is to understand God's word for ourselves. And of course, what we do, we preach this word knowing that ultimately there is a new world coming, isn't it? Because the Lord Jesus is absent, but he is coming back, and he's bringing the home of righteousness. And on that day, Jesus will be seen to be king. As we sit, let's bow our heads. and pray. Sovereign Lord, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them, and you spoke. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you are indeed a speaking word. Thank you that as we listen to this passage, then looking at Psalm 2 and the words about Jesus and about the need of the hour as they face threats, thank you that this passage teaches us that the way that the kingdom grows is through the preached word. And our prayer, therefore, is that we would be engaged in this personally and corporately. Please give us the boldness that we lack, so that we may do what the early church did and turn the world upside down. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.